Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Metzia, Daf Kuf Zayin. We will begin on Daf Kuf Vav Amud Beis at the bottom of the Yom, at the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah, Mekabel Sod Mechaveroi, somebody entered into a chakiris relationship, that he's going to pay the landlord a certain amount for the right to use his field. So Mekabelson Chaver Lazar Chitin, and the agreement was that he's going to plant barley. The loch is Lazar Chitin, he shouldn't plant wheat, or vice versa. Chitin, if he made an agreement to plant wheat, he is allowed to plant barley, because barley does not adversely affect the field as much as wheat. So certainly barley is a better choice. And again, as I said, Rashi explains that the Mishnah here is referring to a situation where he took on to Chakiris, that he's going to pay a fixed amount. But if it's a situation when it's a Chakiris, then you have to pay whatever you agree, no matter what. Shimon Gamaliel Oyser, you have to do what was agreed upon. Tvua, if there was an agreement that he's going to plant grain, like Israeli kidneys, he may not plant beans. Kidneys, but if you agree to plant beans, you surrender tvua. Because again, the beans weaken the field much more than the grain. So if you take on to do the grain, fantastic. Rav Shimon Gamaliel, Oyser. Shimon Gamaliel answers, because as I said again, the Rashi explains that the Mishnah is speaking about a chakiris, because if it was a situation of a rhesus, then we agree to a certain amount that we're going to do. Amar Rav Chisda, my time, Rav Shimon Gamaliel. What's the reason for Rav Shimon Gamaliel? The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, why does Rav Shimon Gamaliel not allow you to deviate from what was agreed upon? My time to Shem Gamil, the Ksiv Sherish Yisrael, Yasa of Avla, Kla Yisrael will not do anything that's improper. V'lo Yidabru Chazov, they won't say anything untrue. V'lo Yimotsa Befiem Loshen Tarmis. Kla Yisrael is careful to do as they are supposed to do. And if there was an agreement to do one thing, you may not do something else. Meisvei asked the Gemara, we learned the Braisa earlier in the Masechta, if somebody magvis Purim, if somebody collected staka for Purim to give out to people that they should have for Purim, the halacha is Purim. The Purim, you have to use it strictly for Purim, and you can't give it out after Purim. Furthermore, ve'medadikim adim, we don't check what if they really need. We give them. What everybody needs. And if somebody was given staka, that the staka money was given to him to use for a poor meal, he's not allowed to buy shoelaces, unless there was an agreement by the community that they could use it for whatever staka purposes necessary. Divir of Yaakov Shomer Shomer Meya. Rav Shimon Gamaliel Oimer, whereas the opinion of Shimon Gamaliel is Mekel, that even if we didn't have this express stipulation that the money could only be used for whatever purpose it was collected, you could anyway use it for other purposes. So we see that Rav Shimon Gamaliel is not that strict, and he takes a more lenient approach that you could use it for other purposes. Amar Abaye Tamid of Shimon, why is Rav Shimon Gamaliel being so strict here? Demar, because what Rabbi Nachmani taught us. Damar, Haiman de Nichle de Titba Ari. If somebody wants his land should be plowed, it should not grow anything that you planted. Lizra Shat Tachiti, Shat Tassari. 1 year you should rotate, 1 year you should plant wheat, and 1 year you should plant barley. Shata, shasi, v'shasari. 1 year plant vertically and 1 year plant horizontally, because that's what's good for the field. And that's why Rav Shimon Gamliel says you can't deviate, because maybe the previous year the owner had planted it this way, and this year he planted it, he specifically wants it to be planted this way. And therefore, you should not deviate from what he said. And Tosfos adds to this. Tosfos says that rotating the crops in the field is very healthy for the field. And therefore, since it's very healthy for the field, the owner of the field, when he entered into agreement with you on the field, knew what his field is all about, and specifically wants his field to be the way that he stipulated, and therefore here you can't deviate. V'le'amarn eloi karvatani. This is all said after, if you did not plow the field after you planted it. Avol karvatani, if you plowed the field less lamba, then you don't have to be concerned, it won't have an adverse effect. So we learned in the Mishnah, tfuah lo yizrin kitnis, if you made up to plant grain, don't plant beans. But if you did made up to plant beans, you may plant grain. Maslan Rabbi Huda L'Ravin. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Huda was, when he was teaching this halacha to Ravin, said, Tfu Yisrael Kitnis, if you made up to plant grain, you may plant beans. Amalei, so Ravin asked him, for Nantanan, then we learn just the opposite in the Mishnah. Tfu Lo Yisrael Kitnis. Here it seems that Kitnis, in our Mishnah, it seems that kitnius is better. In our Mishnah, it says that tfu is better for the health of the field. And here it seems to say that kitnius is better for the health of the field. Amalei lo kasha. Holon, in Eretz in Bavel, where the land is very moist, because Bavel is in a valley, and therefore we're not concerned that beans will deplete the nutrition of the field, and therefore you could change from beans to wheat or vice versa. Halahun, but in Eretz Yisrael, where the ground is essentially very dry, it's because Eretz Yisrael is in a hilly terrain, and therefore you could be concerned that the field is only good for grain and not for beans, because beans will deplete the land much more than grain will, and therefore in Eretz Yisrael, grain is better. So therefore, if you made up to plant beans, you can plant grain, but not vice versa. Amalei Rav Yehuda L'Ravin Baravin. Ravin Achi, Hani Techle de Bekitna, the type of vegetable that grows in the field where cotton grows. Emer Shem Gazel. If somebody came and ripped and pulled out those tachli, it's not considered that he did an act of gezel, because actually that what they're doing is that they're destroying the field. So when you're taking it out, you're actually doing a favor to the landowner that you're taking out this growth, which is detrimental. However, if they're standing not amongst the rows, they're standing on the border, if they're standing on the border of the field, then it's very different. Why? Then there's a concern of gezel, because they're not amongst in the field itself. It's not in the field itself. It's not ruining the field. Vim hukshlazera, if they became so hard, afilud vekitnanami, even the ones that grow amongst the cotton is a problem. Yesh mishum gezel. Mishum maida afsad. Whatever detrimental effect they had on the field, they already had. So now by you just pulling it out, you're just taking something that you're not supposed to take that doesn't belong to you. There are trees that grow in my field, the loch, that the fruit of those trees, they really belong to you. But the loch, and there's some trees that grow in your field, there were obviously neighboring fields, the leaf that really belong to me. Because it really depends where are the roots of the fruit and where are the branches coming out. And the branches, if they're coming out to somebody else's field, they're nourishing from that field. Nor b'nei batzra, the people who have two fields next to each other, that ila noita l'kan l'kan, if you have tree that the roots are partially in each one of the fields, hanoita l'kan, the whatever is over my field belongs to me, and l'kan, whatever is over your field belongs to you. Ditmar, says the Gemara, we actually learned ilan ha'omer ala meitzer. If you have a tree that's sitting on the border, amarav hanoita l'kan l'kan, hanoita l'kan l'kan. The Shmuel Amar, but Shmuel has a different approach. Shmuel's approach is that chalkim, they just divide whatever grows. Meisvei asked the Gemara, the Brisa teaches us, Ilan ha'imer al meitzer, if you have a tree on the border, yechloiku, the two people of the two fields should divide. So isn't this, asked the Gemara, to Yufta Derav, isn't this clearly a refutation of Rav's opinion that says it depends where they're growing? Answers the Gemara, Tergema, Shmuel, I'll leave the Rav, that the Rav is, that this is speaking about a case, B'ilan ha'meiz, malas kol ha'meitzer, the tree takes up the entire border, and therefore they're going equally to both fields, and since they go equally between both fields, so that's why everybody agrees that yechloiku. Yochi, if that's the case, that it's exactly in the middle, and both of them are equally benefiting from it, what is the chiddush? And says the Gemara, lo tzricha, the case is the tule tune l'chad gosa, that even though the roots are equally between the two properties, the fruit, the branches are over one property. And we're saying that even though the branches are over more one property and the other property, the Gemara is saying that what we look at is not where the branches are. What we look at is where the roots are. Vakati, says the Gemara, Maila Memra. The question is that what's the chiddush? Now that divided this way, maybe somebody can make an argument to divide it according, so we're looking at where the roots are. Who says to look at the roots from back to front or front side to side? Everybody wants the other way. They have to figure out how to divide it. Raven, my brother, don't buy property that's near the city, because people constantly see what's going on, and that will cause, as we're going to learn, an ayin hara. Dam ravu amar ravuna marav, os l'adam shiyamed al stei chaver b'shoa, shemez b'kameseha. A person shouldn't stand next to a property, because people will look at it, and people look at it cause an ayin hara. And so from here we see the terrible effect of an ayin hara. Rashi in Masechta Brachos, Masechta Erechin, says that what is an ayin hara? So Rashi seems to say that the definition of an ayin hara is when somebody sees something that somebody else accomplished, and it's something of wonder, it's something that causes amazement, and that causes an ayin hara. Because what happens is, when I sit and say to myself, how was this person so successful that he had this wonderful thing happen to him, it causes them in the Shemayim, they should start to think and judge, is he deserving of this wonderful reward? The Gemara Masechta Erevin, Daf Samach Daled, teaches us that if somebody gets suddenly a nice amount of money, he should use it to buy a Sefer Torah. Because Rashi explains that if somebody is able to acquire money without effort, as we just learned, it causes that people should wonder, how did this person get this? And the way to protect his good fortune is by doing a special mitzvah, buying a Sefer Torah. The Shevet Musar writes that it's appropriate to people, when you marry off a child, you should daven that your child should not be affected by an hara. There are people who unfortunately are not, who are looking for shidduchim for children, and they didn't yet have the schus, the privilege to marry the child. So you have to be worried that about an, you have to be concerned about an ayin hara. And we'll speak about more about ayin hara more. Ask the Gemara, Eini v'shkechina rabbi abla talmidei, the Rav, didn't Rab Abba meet the Talmud of Rav? Amal umay amar Rav bahani kro. How did Rav explain the following psukim? The pasuk says, Baruch ata bi'ir, Baruch ata b'soda, Baruch ata b'vayecha, Baruch ata b'tzasecha. Psukim pashas kisovei. V'amal yehoch amar Rav. Baruch ata bi'ir, shei beis chasomach l'beis haknesses. Your home should be near a shul. Baruch ata b'soda, shei nechasecha kroivim l'ir. You won't have, your place of work should be near where you live. You won't have to travel. If you come home and you want to have relations with your wife, then the law, you, she should not be a Suffolk neither. When you come home, and as all the Mefarshim explain, why is it she shouldn't be a Suffolk neither? If the point here is that if she's, that you want to have relations, if she does, why does it make a difference if she's a Suffolk neither or a Vade neither? So the answer that the Rishonim give is that when somebody is a vaday nida, so the person recognizes that my wife is a nida, and I'm a religious person, so of course I will not have relations with my wife when she's a nida. When she's a Suffolk nida, so now I feel bad because maybe she's really not a nida. Another pshat that the Rishonim explain is that if she's a Suffolk nida, you may take certain liberties to do things that you're really not allowed to do. If she's a vaday nida, you wouldn't do that. So baruch ata v'yacha, shloi timtza ishtacha sofk nida b'shas b'yoschum l'derech, that you won't find your wife is a sofk nida. And baruch ata v'tzisecha, sheitzetzei me'echa k'moyscha, that you have children that are like you. Because as the Maral explains, that the biggest bracha that a person can have is that he should have wonderful, healthy children. The Ben Yoyada explains that when a that these two are connected. A wife wants to have relations with her husband when her husband's not home. And when a wife and a husband are interested in having relations, then their children will be tzatzoi, they will be wonderful children. The Chachmas Menoyach makes an interesting observation. He says, first the Gemara says that Shehein Chasecha Kroivim L'ir, that we get a bracha about our assets, and only afterwards do we get a bracha about our children. Shouldn't we be more concerned about our children more than our money? So he says that, so he explains, if we would have spoken about the bracha of assets first, we would have thought that what we're davening for is that our children should be wealthy. So the Gemara is teaching us that is not what we're supposed to daven for when we daven for our children. We're supposed to daven for children, but what we're supposed to daven is that our children should be Talmid Chachamim, that our children should be Yirei Shemayim. Focusing on our children being wealthy is not what the primary focus in our life is supposed to be. Vamul Rav Yochanan Vamulhu, and Rav Abin said to the Talmid Rav, the way you're explaining is not the way Rabbi Yochanan explained. Ela baruch ata b'ir, shebesa kisei samach, the bracha baruch ata b'ir, shebesa kisei samach l'shulchancha, the besa kisei should be close to your home. In those days, they used to use an outhouse, and that the outhouse where they went to use the bathroom should be close by. And the Gemara Masech, the brachas explains, because if a person needs to use the bathroom and he doesn't use the bathroom when he needs to, it could cause serious harm to his body. So here, we're davening that we should be able, if we need to use the bathroom, we should be able to use it immediately, not to chas v'sholem become sick. The Maral explains this Gemara, a pidrush. He says, the beis hakisei is where we get rid of the waste. And that what a person should be do, what a person should do is that he should be able to get rid of the waste and only be connected to Kedusha v'Tahara. Al Beis HaKnesses Loi. Rav Yochanan says that a Beis HaKnesses should not be your home, near your home. Why? Because Rav Yochanan Tamei, Rav Yochanan's opinion is, there is a concept of Psar Pesiyas, of walking to Shul. The Gemara tells us there was a woman, an almana, who would daven it in the Beis Medrash of Rav Yochanan. And Rav Yochanan asked her, aren't there so many shuls closer to your home? So why do you come to my shul, which is not the closest shul to your home? So she answered, don't I have a schapsis that walk to shul? And from here, the Rishonim say that 2 points. A person, well, here we see that the mitzvah, the schar somebody gets for a mitzvah, is not just for the actual performance in mitzvah. You also get a schar for doing what you need to do to get to the mitzvah. And not only is it in the mitzvah of tefillah, it's any mitzvah. But the question that is asked is, we're not allowed to do mitzvahs to kabel schar. I'll tell you, kavodim, hamasham shem esarav amanas l'kabel pras. So why over here are we doing it amanas l'kabel pras? So the Ben Yoyada explains that a person's not supposed to do a mitzvah for the purpose of getting schar. But if the person does the mitzvah, does more than he's supposed to do a mitzvah, he's entitled to do the mitzvah for schar. The Magen Avraham says that based on this Gemara, that there's two shuls that you could daven in. It's a mitzvah to go to the shul that's further, because that's how you're going to have schar psius. And so too is the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch Harav. However, there are achronim that suggest that was only said by a regular individual. But a person in the time that he's walking to shul is a person that if he wasn't spending the time walking to shul, he would be able to learn Torah at that time, or if he would be able to do mitzvahs in the time. So of course, the mitzvah that you could do at that time is more important. Moreover, the Marshag, Nishal's Chuvus Marshag, says a very important consideration in this discussion is not just how far you walk to shul, and not just what you could have done in the time that you walk to shul, but an important consideration is what shul is a better shul for you to daven in. If there's a shul that they don't talk in, if there's a shul where there's a roivam, is a shul that daven better, all of those have to be taken into consideration. Also, the Paiskim say that if a person is davening in a shul which is nearer his home, because that is the best place for him to daven, that's why he davens there. But if that shul, which is the best place for him to daven, were not near his home, he would still go daven in that shul. It's considered as if he walked to that shul, and he'll get schar psius. The pasuk says, "Ma toivo ayalecha Yaakov u'mishkenisecha Yisrael." So I saw that the Sefer Tepuchei Chaim explains that ayalecha refers to one's home, and mishkenisecha are the bate knesias, bate midrashes. So he explains, "Baruch atah beisecha, baruch atah bevayacha, baruch atah betzeisecha," refers to your home and refers to your shul. And what we're learning here is that a person's behavior in his home should be the same as it is in a shul. And it goes both ways. Our homes should be a place of Kedusha, a place of Tefillah and Torah. And the shul should be a place of Kedusha and Torah Tefillah. Baruch Atah B'Vayecha, Baruch Atah B'Tzeisecha. If we treat that, both of them, the same way, then we will be Zoicha to Baruch. Says the Gemara, but if that's the case, the Rabbi Yochanan has a whole different understanding about where a shul is supposed to be. How does Rabbi Yochanan explain the pasuk that we've been learning, Baruch Atah B'Vayecha, Baruch Atah B'Tzeisecha? So he says, Baruch Atah B'Tzeisecha, Sada, Sheinu Secha M'Shaloshim. You should have your assets divided into three. Shlish B'Tfua, a third should be in grain, Shlish B'Zeisim, olives, Shlish B'Gvanim, and vines.
Baruch Atah V'Vayecha or Baruch Atah B'Tzeisecha, Shtei Yitzioscha Ben Olam, when somebody leaves the world, it should be K'biyoscha L'Olam, like he came to the world. Ma B'yoscha L'Olam, when a person comes to this world, of course he comes B'Loi Chet, he doesn't have any Averis, he's completely innocent. So too, Af Yitzioscha Ben Olam, when you leave the world, he should also be B'Loi Chet. And the Ksav Sofer explains, the Gemara Masechta Ervin, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis teaches us, Noich Nimnu V'Gamru, they took a vote and they decided, Noich Loil Adam Shalai Nivra, it would have been better the person should not be created. However, V'Achshish Nivra, now that we have been brought to the world, V'Fashvish B'Maisav. Why? Because as the Gemara over there explains, there are more Averis than Mitzvahs. So a person is more likely to do an Avera than to do a Mitzvah. But, so when you come to the world, you're really not that baruch. You're not that blessed. Who knows if you will be successful? Maybe you'll be from the peace people. Baruch Shlai Nivra. It would have been better that you would have not been born to the world. However, if a person comes to this world and lives life the way he's supposed to live life, so not only is when he leaves the world is he baruch, but actually what happens is that retroactively we see Baruch Atah B'Vayecha, that when you came to the world, it was worthwhile for you to come to the world. Baruch Atah B'Vayecha, when will we know if it was worthwhile for you to come to this world? But Baruch Atah B'Tzeisecha, when you leave the world, we will be able to understand and recognize, was this worthwhile, was not worthwhile. I saw that the Sefer Ein Eliyahu from the Gra explains that the pasuk begins the Baruch Atah B'Vayecha or Baruch Atah B'Tzeisecha. So he explains that, as we just said, that the Medrash speaks about the day a person leaves versus the day that a person is born. And he explains, like, there were two boats that left the port. And one, when it comes, everybody's happy. And the other, when it comes, everybody's happy if they came back safely. When it leaves, there's a lot of apprehension. If will it be come back safely? Baruch Atah B'Vayecha. When is the B'Vayecha a baruch? If not only when you come to the world, but when you finish your mission in the world, you finish it properly, then the B'Vayecha, then the coming to the world will end up having been a situation of gevalda gebracha. We can never be confident of that until the end, says the Gemara. But so we have a kasha. Is it good that Rav held that a person's assets should be close to his home, and we're not worried about the ayin hara? And Rav Yehuda said that a person. So is it good to have your assets near your home or not? Says the Gemara, Haloi kasha. Ha the muhadalei shur v'saka. If you have a fence around your property, then it's no problem that your assets are nearby, because people can't see what's doing in your assets. However, if there is no fence, there's a real concern. The pasuk says, going back to what we spoke about before, what does kol chayli mean? Zu ayin, it refers to ayin hara. Because Rav Tamei, the Rav Solik Lebei Kivri, if Rav would go visit a cemetery, Ovid Maida Ovid, he would do whatever he did, he would say whatever he say, and then he would say, V'tish, Zu Tishin V'tisha, Ba'in Hara, he would say that 99% of the people in the cemetery passed away because of Ayin Hara, V'echad, and one just died, B'derech Eretz. From here we see the power of the Ayin Hara. And the Chazon Ish explains that what makes the Ayin Hara so problematic is that a person sometimes has an Ayin Hara and he doesn't even know that he has an Ayin Hara. And because the person who has the Ayin Hara doesn't know he has the Ayin Hara, and the person who is the recipient of that person's Ayin Hara doesn't know. So it's something that is impossible to be able to identify. The Michtam Eliyahu says, why is there a concept of Ayin Hara? So Michtav Eliyahu explains that all the neshamas of Klal Yisrael are connected. And since all of the neshamas of Klal Yisrael are connected, if one neshama has a problem, then it's as if all the neshamas have a problem. The Chassam Sofer explains that if there's a time that there's a epidemic in the world, what a person should do at that time is stay out of, not make himself available, people shouldn't see him, because you don't know who has the Ayin Hara, and the person will say, wow, this person, everybody else is unfortunately sick, and this person is not. That's a way the Chas V'Shalom, somebody could be suffering Ayin Hara. The Pnei Menachem used to say, if we're learning in our Gemara the effect, the terrible effect of Ayin Hara, so we know that Chazal always teach us that Midah Tovah is Merubah Midah Pronius, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, that good is always stronger than bad. And therefore, if good is stronger than bad, if Ayin Hara could unfortunately have such a terrible effect, how much good could Ayin Tovah, how much good could Ayin Tovah bring to the world? The Gemara in Masechta Brachos, we had the Gemara here in Masechta Bamitzi as well, says that the Shevet of Yosef were blessed that they don't have to worry about Ayin Hara. So ask Tosfos, if that's the case, why do we find that the members of Shevet Yosef did not live longer than the rest of Klal Yisrael? If our Gemara just said that most people who pass away because of an Ayin Hara, and these people are not affected by Ayin Hara, so they should ostensibly live longer. So Tosfos says that Shevet Yosef, even though they did not die because of Ayin Hara, they died because of other diseases, and all of those other diseases caused that they should die the same way all other people. The Chiddush says that when the Gemara here says that 99% of deaths are caused by Ayin Hara, it doesn't mean that everybody dies because of Ayin Hara. He says what it means is that if we see somebody dies, a young person or other such situations where it's not normal that the person should have died, that's because he died because of Ayin Hara. And I saw that is the opinion of the Chazon Ish as well. The Chazon Ish asks that we know that everything is predestined on Rosh Hashanah. So if a person was nigzar, if it was decreed on a person on Rosh Hashanah that he'll be fine, then the person should be fine. And if it was Chas V'Shalom nigzar on the person on Rosh Hashanah that he shouldn't be fine, he won't be fine. So what does it mean that people die because of Ayin Hara? So the Chazon Ish explains what it really means to say is that, of course, the world runs with normal order, and that is all predestined on Rosh Hashanah. What the Gemara here means to say is that the people who die not because of terrible situations, those people die. The reason most people die is because of Ayin Hara. So Ramosha writes that because of that, a person has to be careful not to do things in a very public manner. By doing things in a very public manner, you draw attention to yourself. And once you draw attention to yourself, as we're learning, you could be the recipient of Ayin Hara. But Ramosha writes, if that's the case, a person will become paralyzed and will never be able to live because he's always concerned about the Ayin Hara. So Moshe says, regarding Ayin Haras, man the kapit kabdirin v'adayu, the more you think about the Ayin Hara, the more you need to be concerned about the Ayin Hara. Man the kapit, somebody's concerned about it, kabdirin v'adayu, needs to be concerned. Or man the loy kapit, and somebody who lives life in a normal fashion, like kabdirin v'adayu. The Shmuel Amar, Shmuel explains what is the definition of kol choli, zah ruach, where a person is affected by terrible wind. Shmuel Tamei, the Shama Shmuel, Hakel Baruach, all disease come from a person exposed to the wind. Shmuel asked the Gemara, Herka Rugi Malchus, what are the people What about the people who are murdered? They're certainly not murdered. The wind didn't affect their death. Answers, the Gemara, Hanach Nami, even those people as well. Ilav Zika, if not for the wind, Avdele Sama, we could have made some sort of refuah that would have helped them. But the wind is what makes that they shouldn't be able to survive. Chanin Amar, the definition of Kachali, Zug Tzina, when it's cold. Damar Chanin Hakob De Shemaim, everything is Mina Shemaim, Chutz Mitzinim Pachim. A person who exposes to heat or cold. Shnema, Tzinim Pachim Derech Ikesh, if there's this type of weather, Shayma Nafshe Yirchak Mehem, a person should be careful about them. So I saw that the Mefarshim explained, what does the Gemara mean? Hakav de Shemayim chutz mitzinim apachim. So the Imre Yosef explains that the Gemara Masech the Brachos Daf Lamed Gimel Mabeis teaches us Hakav de Shemayim chutz Yerushamayim. So is it Yerushamayim that's Hakav de Shemayim, or is it tzinim apachim? So he says that tzinim apachim means warm and cold. And what it means is that how is a person able to achieve Yerushamayim? The way a person is able to obtain Yerushamayim is tzinim apachim. If when it comes to an aveira, he's cold, and when it comes to do a mitzvah, he's warm, he does the mitzvah with his slahavis, with his energy, and he's not interested in doing aveiras, then he will be a person that will have Yerushamayim. Another pshat that I saw from Satmar Rebbe, Chutzman Tzina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take away anything that makes us cold, anything that makes us dispassionate of our Avodas Hashem. And once the HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes all that away, we'll be able to serve Hashem properly. Rabbi Yosef Ben Chanina Amar, Tzoya, we're talking about the waste that's in the ear and the nose. Amar Tzoya, Sachaita, Tzoya, Sa'oizen, Ruben Kosher, if you have much of them, they're dangerous, Umayutin Yofa, but having a little is healthy. Rabbi Lazar Amar Kolchayli refers to the Mora, it falls to the gallbladder. It could cause that if the boil from the gallbladder goes into the body, it can make the whole body sick. The gematria of machla is 83, and kulon, and all of them, pas shachs b'melech, eating breakfast, v'kitna shemayim, and drinking water, mevatlon, the power of eating breakfast. Our Gemara just discussed how seriously we have to be concerned about ayin hara. So I saw that the Sefer Chashuki Chemed discusses where somebody has a son who's a very bright boy, and he wants to join a contest where he's convinced they have a contest on Tanakh, a test on Tanakh, or other types of contest, but his father is worried about an ayin hara. So the Pella Yoitz discusses a similar situation. He says that there are people that have talents. They could speak, they could sing, they could use those talents for Avodas Hashem. But the concern when you use those talents for Avodas Hashem is that you're in the public space. And once you're in the public space, you become the subject of an ayin hara. And our Gemara is teaching us how concerned we need to be about ayin hara. So the question is, what should such a person do? Should he take that or not? So he quotes from the Nesiva Shalom, from the Slonimer Rebbe. He says, well, we have to decide when we make this decision, should this person be put into the public space or not? What is best for the child's chinuch? What's best for the child's chinuch is that he should be put into this public space, in this competitive space, because that will encourage him to learn that that's what he should do. If that doesn't have a positive effect,
It's just there for a person to be able to, everybody should say, look how smart he is. Then we have to be concerned about it. Then there's a real concern of an ayin hara. And the same thing is in any area. If a person is living in the public sphere, but if what he's doing is for positive purpose to create more Kiddush Shem Shemayim, then that's something he should do. If it's not going to create more Kiddush Shem Shemayim, then it should be avoided. So Gemara continues to speak about breakfast. Tanaban Shlosha Asadvaram Nemru B'has Shachros. There were 13 things that were said about eating breakfast. Matzalos Menachama, a person will not be affected by the sun, Menatzina, from the cold, Menazikin, from tornadoes, Menamazikim, from Shadim, or Machkimas Pesi, and it makes people who are not that smart smarter. V'zoicha B'din, if he has a din Torah with somebody else, he will prevail because he'll know what to say. Lilma Torah, he can learn Torah better. Lamed, he can teach Torah. V'dvarav, Nishmam, people will listen to what he says. Talmudei, Skai, and B'yodai, what he learns, he'll remember. V'ein B'sar, Ma'al Hevel, he won't give off perspiration. Niskak L'ishtoi, when he has a relation with his wife, so he's a satisfied person. Ein Masav L'Shacheres, he won't be interested in anyone else. V'regas Kino B'bnei Ma'ayim, it causes that any worms that may be in the stomach are eliminated. V'yeshayim Af Ma'itzi Asakina, it removes any jealousy or machnas as a hava and brings love. Amalei Rabba L'Rava Mar B'Meri, V'na'am Milsud Amri Inshi, from where do we know what people say, Shitin Rehitin Rot, people, 60 people ran after a person. The Lemotel Gavr de Mitzafra Karach, they weren't able to catch up with a person that ate breakfast. Shomer Rabbanon, Hashke V'Ochol B'Kayetz, in the morning get up and eat breakfast. Nechama, that you shouldn't be badly affected by the sun. Or B'Chayrif, and in the winter, Nechitzina, Amalei Dixiv, Lo Yiravu, V'Lo Yitzmo, V'Lo Yirak, V'Lo Yakim Sher V'Shemesh. Since they're not hungry because they ate a proper breakfast, they will be fine. Amalei, so Rava said to Rabbi Ben Meri, At Amidli Mahasam, you're using that as the source, and I will give you a different source. The Pasuk says, V'varetem es Hashem alakechem uberech es lachmachos meimecham, V'varetem es Hashem alakecha es krishma tefila, uberech es lachmachos meimecha, Zupas b'melo v'kit n'shamayim, and eat bread and salt and water in the morning. Mekav elich, if a person lives that type of life, then the hasoisi machlam kibarcha. The Yaris Devash explains what is this formula for eating breakfast, bread and salt and water. So he explains, obviously, this is a very simple diet. He says a person who lives life with being satisfied with a simple diet, that is the best way for him to remain healthy. I saw that many Mefarshim explain that the Gematria of Pas is Talmud. And what the Gemara is teaching us, Pas Shachris, if a person starts his day, Pas, with learning Talmud, with learning Gemara, then the person will have, as the Gemara just said, all the brachas that one could hope for, they could hope for in life. Amalei Rabbi Yehuda Rada Mishka, Lo'tuzalzel B'mishkoscha. Don't be very careful that when you measure something, you should measure it properly. The kaporta porta chosmal kikarishka. Every drop of land could be used for planting saffron. Saffron was a very, very expensive spice, and the person in this very expensive spice, on this small part of land that you mismeasured, the person could have planted saffron. The four amos that people keep away from the irrigation canal, zalzabahu. We don't have to be so careful how we measure them. But the nahara, the four amos that are from the edge of the river, that you should be more careful. Don't let anybody plant anything there. Everybody should, that 4 amos should be perfect. The 4 amos that are next to the irrigation canal belong to the people that live there. And therefore, nobody's really going to be affected because nobody else can really go there. So we don't have to be so careful. However, then, Hara, the area, the beach, the 4 amos closer to the beach belong to everyone. And if you deprive them, you will have stolen from the rabbim. Machros Rav Ami, Molik Kasri Nagdi Betray Avdi Nahara Kotzer. If somebody has trees sticking out by the river, he should cut them down because the boat should be able to travel there and the tree branches should not be in interference. Rav Noishan Ba'oisha cut Shitzer Amsa. He would cut trees that were take up 16 amas. Osle B'nei Mishranya V'dakfua. The people of Mishranya who had these trees were upset with him. Who saw the Kirishus Rabbim? He thought that the amount that has to be left open that the boats could go is 16 amos like Rishus Rabbim. The Lohi Hassam, when we speak about a Rishus Rabbim being in Kalahai, we need such a wide area. Hacha, Mishum Tucha Shlenahu, we just are worried about the boats being able to travel. Kamalinas Kasvi Nagdi Saki. The amount that you could just be able to travel without those branches interfering is sufficient. Rabbi Rafuna Havalehu Abba Gudin Hara. He had a forest, he had a field next to the river. Amalei Naked Smar, cut down the trees, they shouldn't interfere. Amul Kutse Olavatatoi, if the people above and below me who also have trees will cut down their trees, then I'll cut it down. Says the Marhecha Avad Hachi, says the Gemara Vaksiv, Vakoshi Vakoshu, Vamresh Lakish, Hekshait Atzmacha. What are you looking at what other people do? First take care of yourself. Vakak Shait Acherim. Answers the Gemara Hossam, Abdi Paibaza Gufilava. The people who lived, who had forests below him and above him, were the king and the prime minister. And they're not going to do something just because he did it. And therefore, Rabbi said, "E kaitzu, if they're going to cut, then kaitzina, I too will cut my trees. However, they like kaitzu, if they're not going to cut their trees, are my ikets. What's the purpose of me cutting my trees? The mantachla shlayu, if I cut my trees, mistaglu, they're not going to travel along this route because their boats are going to get caught up in those trees. Viloy le mistaglu, there's no purpose. Rabbi Nachman have a kaazal ba'arba. Rabbi Nachman was traveling on a boat where Rabbi Rafuna's trees were planted along the route. Chazau Abed Kaya Gudin Nahara, he saw this forest. Amalei the man, who owns this forest that the boat can't travel? Amalei Rabbi Rafunu, Amma Viyada Sarim Sganim Hoysu Mala Zeri Shainim, that the important people were the people who did something wrong. Amalei, so he said to Rabbi Rav Nachman, Kutsu, cut it. Also, Rabbi Rafun of Ashkir the Kayetz. I'm a man Kayetz. Whoever cut my trees without discussing with me first what should we do, to cut Anfei. His branches, that means his children, should be cut. It says the Gemara, Amri Kulishana the Rabbi Rafuna, like Kaim Lezara. He didn't have children, the Rabbi Rav Nachman, because Rav Nachman cut Rabbi Rafuna's tree without permission. So Al Gemara says, "Hiskoshu v'koshu, kshoit atzmacha v'kach kach kshoit acherim." So the question is that why is my who I am dependent on who other people says? So I saw that the Ostra of Tzerov, Rebbe, the Meir Einacham quotes the Baal Shem. The Baal Shem says that if you see somebody doing an avera, it's an indication that you might have done that Avera. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu made you see that this person did an Avera, there's a real concern that maybe you're a person that did that Avera. And that's why, if you see other people do Averas, think about yourself, who am I that I'm seeing that other people did Averas? The Pasuk says, the Rav Shitzurav says in the Sefer Zera Kodesh, "Ve'ish es kadoshev lo yiyah." The person says
Is as kadoshav. If somebody wants to make other people kadosh, lo yiyu. First, he has to think about himself. If a person looks about himself, then he could make other people kadosh. The pasuk says that kisifse koyin yishmur das the tari of actually piu kamalach Hashem tzavakas hu. The pasuk also says, the Agamar says, that who is the person who has the people listen to what he says? A person who is a person of Yerushalayim. The pasuk says, if you take out the wrath from yourself, then you will be zoicha v'chol Yisrael yishmu v'yirou. First, you have to be a person that takes out the wrath from yourself. Once you are able to take out the wrath from yourself, what you're able to do is v'chol Yisrael yishmu v'yirou. Shoit atzmecha v'achkach shoit acherim. If you want to have a koyin, a Talmud Chacham, a Rav, people should listen to him. The person who listens to him has to be Malach Hashem Tzvakas. He has to be a holy person. If the person who gives this advice and this leadership is a holy person, then he's a person that Yivak Shem Apiyu, people will listen to his Torah.